Hi friends, I just want to take a quick moment to tell you about Anchor. Now, if you're an aspiring podcaster or have friends who've started their own podcast, then you've probably heard your fair share of ads on Anchor. Maybe you're even a little bit skeptical like I was at first. I mean, is anything really free when you're creating a podcast? Well, let me tell you firsthand, Anchor is the way to go. Anchor FM really gives you everything you need to start a podcast. You can record directly on there or upload your files, easily edit your recordings from your phone or computer, and if you don't have anyone to produce the music for your podcast, they even give you access to music from Spotify that you can use without copyright infringement and select your own. I mean, how easy is that? Not only can you do all this, but you can upload onto all streaming services directly from Anchor. If you're hesitant about starting your podcast and all the how-to stuff, Anchor makes it 10 times easier for you with clear instructions from the get-go on how to start your podcast and even advises you on how you can make money with it. And it's free. So really, you can't lose here, and I love that for you. It's helped me in my podcast creation journey, and I know it can be the same for you. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm right now and start that journey. That's anchor.fm. Hello, and welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Luke 12:27 states, "Look at how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these." Our mission here is to share stories from men and women that can help you learn how to stop laboring or striving after what you want to accomplish, but rather to trust in your heavenly creator to guide you in your everyday life. If he has a plan for you, he will make a way. All he wants is our daily yes to him and for us to stop worrying about what tomorrow will bring. If we can do that, then we, as children made in his image, can be dressed in even grander splendor than the beautiful wildflowers of the field. I'm your host, Lydia Summer, and I'm so glad you're here today. On today's episode, Ashley Trechick joins me to talk about something that so many young people may feel discouraged in right now. Singleness. Although this conversation is largely about the mountains and valleys of what single women and men face, this is something that we want everyone to listen to. Ashley talks about how she desires to see the church grow in their care for the single people and encourages couples to reach out to those who are single and walk alongside them in every season. We talk about how it's okay to grieve singleness and for dreams not yet fulfilled, but also to remember to find joy and contentment in the season God has us in. And just for fun, we may even talk a little bit about what we desire in our future husband. All of that and more is coming up, and you don't want to miss it. Welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Let's get started. Welcome back to another episode of Dressed in Splendor. This week, I had the extreme privilege of having Ashley Trechick on the show today. Ashley and I met in the fall of 2020 through a church young adults event at her cousin's house, and for a long time, we hadn't followed up with one another. It actually wasn't until last summer that I remembered and recognized her through the drive-thru at the coffee shop I work at that we finally decided to meet up for coffee. Since then, we've met up a few times, and we share a similar heart for encouraging one another in our singleness. She's been a dear friend to pour my heart out to when I'm discouraged in my non-existing dating life, and she has such a huge heart to see the capital C Church become a place where singles can receive just as much mentorship, encouragement, and tools to walk through their season of life as the married men and women have in the church. We'll be diving into all that and more, but first, I want to welcome Ashley to the show. Ashley, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Lydia. I'm so excited about our conversation today and just hopefully the encouragement that we can give other just young adults who are maybe walking through this season and maybe even a little laughter along the way too.
I mean, if there's no laughter, then it's not a fun podcast. Right. So, all right. Well, thank you again. But before we dive into that conversation, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes. So I have been back in the Midwest here for almost 7 years. Oh. This summer will be 7 years, which is hard to believe. So I was born here in Illinois and moved out to Arizona when I was 8 years old. My dad got a different job out there. Okay. And before we moved out there and I had ever visited, All I knew was it was desert. Well, in my 8-year-old mind, I was thinking of Egypt and the pyramids. Yeah. And I was thinking camels were going to be walking around. And I was like, no, why are you taking me away from the amazing green and everything? So, but yeah, so lived out there for about 14 years, went to college out there. I'm a proud Arizona State Sun Devil. And got my degree in elementary ed and special ed. So I was a teacher for a year, and then I decided that I wanted to move back to the Midwest. Honestly, the big city life was just not for me. I enjoy a little bit of a slower pace of life. Miss the green, miss the seasons. I know I moved back here and people are like, why would you give up living in Arizona? And I'm like, you don't understand. 115 degrees gets very old.
Yeah.
Very, like, quickly.
No seasons, no color change in the fall leaves.
No, it's just brown and hot. And they're like, oh, but you get to swim all the time. And I'm like, guess what? You actually even get sick of swimming.
Yeah.
You can only do it so much.
Yeah.
But I do have to say the only thing that I miss is the natural tan.
Yeah.
Now I have to go to the tanning bed to get my glow.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, and a little bit of my story too is my parents ended up getting divorced my first year of college, but it's kind of part of my testimony. And it was hard. My dad had been unfaithful in the marriage and was kind of walking in a different way. And so that was a challenge, but my mom ended up married a wonderful guy and moved back here. And so I saw it as a prime opportunity to move back here as well. So yeah, after 1 year of teaching, I packed my bags and I've been here ever since. So no longer teaching. I'm in HR now. I have an adorable puppy named Ruger. Yes. He keeps me busy. He loves to visit Lydia in the drive-thru at the coffee shop.
He gets his treats.
Yes, he does. He's all about that. So, and then just kind of in my spare time, I enjoy reading, exercising. I love cooking and visiting local coffee shops and supporting small businesses. So that's just a little nugget about myself.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing that there's so many coffee shops here in Peoria?
Like, it is so true. I literally, one of my best friends from Phoenix just visited last weekend, and she's like, Ash, you literally take me to a different coffee shop every time I come.
I know.
I'm like, it is a blessing. And I'm all about supporting local. So that's like one of my favorite things.
And I like it much better than Starbucks or Dunkin'.
Oh, amen.
You know?
Yeah.
So definitely. It just tastes better. And, you know, a lot of places have like homemade syrups and ingredients and everything. And
yes. So it feels a little healthier.
Oh,
if coffee can be healthy.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
It's so funny. Someone asked me today, actually, like, how many calories is in your coffee latte?
Yeah.
I have no idea. Like, we don't count calories here.
Right.
You either one or you don't.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so you moved back to Peoria.
Yes.
Would you say that your mom had like a big part in like why you wanted to move back here?
I would say so. So I'm very close with my mom. She's one of my best friends, but also like one of my biggest prayer warriors in my life, which I feel truly blessed to have that.
Yeah.
And I miss the seasons. I had other family back here as well. And again, it just goes back to, you know, less rushing around in life, you know, being stuck in traffic. I remember that even though my commute was only about 10, 12 miles from my apartment, when I was teaching, it would sometimes take me almost an hour to get home after work. And I laugh when people around here make remarks about traffic, or
I know,
you hear
like
on the radio,
really
oh, it's rush hour, and I'm like, this is nothing. Yes. So I would say that she did have a part in that. I mean, she never pushed me or anything, but she was definitely excited when I had told her, hey, I think I'm gonna make the leap, and come back here. And honestly, I'm very thankful that I did.
Good. Yeah. I mean, I'm thankful you're here. I mean, like,
yes,
you've been able to meet
I know.
Up with
we
each other.
We've never met.
I know.
However, we were both kind of out west at the same time. I mean, obviously, you were in Texas and I was in Arizona, but.
But it's like still, like, we both have like similar backstory and then like coming back to Peoria and not really expecting to be here. Or
right.
Anything. So,
yeah.
I mean, we have a connection, but we didn't even know about that connection because we could have met beforehand too through your aunt and uncle, who's my pastor and his wife at my church. So, but we didn't meet until that one event and the rest is history. But God's timing is like super perfect. So,
it's so good all the time.
Yes. How would you say like this transition has been back for you?
Honestly, I think I was expecting it to be a little easier
than
it was. So I'm very thankful, and I was truly blessed with some amazing girlfriends who I honestly did life with out in Phoenix. I met them in college, and they've truly become like my sisters. And I, you know, I think I was coming back here having that mindset of, oh, I'm going to find that right away. And honestly, sometimes it's still a struggle because, and I don't want this to come off in a wrong way, but sometimes people back here are not as accepting to somebody who's coming in new just because, you know, maybe they grew up here, they left for college, but they came back. And they have their friend group and they're content with that. And so they're not as open to inviting you into their group because they're okay with how it is. And I understand that. Like, I'm not trying to come in and mess any friendships or relationships up or anything, but I'm also human. I like connection. I would say that I'm pretty extroverted and I enjoy, you know, hanging out and being in community and that type of thing. So I think it was it, and it takes time to build relationships, and I completely understand that. But I think that I had a different mindset coming back than kind of reality of what I was about to face.
Yeah, I mean, I think you and I have both kind of faced that to where I mean, I grew up here and lived here for the last portion of my adolescent years, so I had some friends that I still connect with and I'm friends with still since my seventh grade year. But coming back, there's a big familial bond here in Peoria, and you will find one person where at least there's like a it's like you're either related to another family or there's like one degree difference in
like
terms
removed.
Of like,
yes, exactly. It's so true.
Like, I was like, man, I feel like I'm the outsider. But everyone has that familial bond, which is very special, but also you can feel a little bit like you're the outsider, you know, coming in. So yeah, I mean, with that too, I mean, I think that because we have similar backgrounds, because we're both single, we're in the church, and we've known either some of these people like me for most of my lives, and you know who they are, you've grown up with them, or you've met, and it is different backgrounds coming together, you just don't mesh as well. Like, I think both of us being single here in Peoria has been a little bit difficult.
Oh my gosh. I remember there was a season where my mom's friends, they must have found it fun, like, setting me up on blind dates. And God bless them. I mean, they were trying. But there were a couple where I'm just like, oh, gosh, this was this was not good. And but I have some funny stories, like, out of that, too. So, but I think it also grows you because it puts you kind of in a different, uncomfortable, kind of challenging position. You know, when you're meeting someone brand new and going out to dinner and trying to have a conversation and getting to know them. And so it grew me in ways, and I'm thankful for that. But it got to the point where my mom would say, oh, so-and-so. I'm like, I'm good for right now. Thanks, but no thanks. I appreciate it, but I'm not interested.
I mean, you're a lot more bold than I am, because I get very uncomfortable with blind dates. You know, I'm just like, I don't know. You know, because there have been some moms that are, you know, in the church that are like, oh, I know this great guy.
Yeah.
I know this sounds so shallow of me, but it's like, okay, how, what does he look like? Also, how tall is he? I'm 5'10". I want someone that's at least 6 foot, you know?
Just to like be that comfortable.
So, and I know this sounds shallow, but at the same time, like, I want to be attracted to them and I don't want to waste their time. Like, I know that a lot of, there are people who are like, well, I don't really like this when people say this too, because I'm like, everyone's different and it can be true for you. But a lot of times when you think differently about a person that you didn't find attractive at first, but then you do afterwards, it's because you've gotten to know them. You know their personality. But if you're in a blind date and you don't really find them attractive at first, like, you don't have to waste your time. I think it's okay for you to say, I'm really sorry, but I'm not attracted to you. You
know? And if there's, I think too, like, that chemistry. You know, where I have been out on a couple of blind dates where there's just like nothing there. And
they could be the like the hottest guy ever.
Exactly. But there's just like no connection, no chemistry. And I know my mom has even said, well, how do you know after one day? I'm like, again, mom, like, I know. Like, I don't even see anything growing there. So I'm totally with you. of, I'm just gonna be upfront and honest. You know, like, yeah. I don't really see this going anywhere. I think you're a great person, but I just don't think this is the right fit.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of side note, funny thing real quick. I remember one guy I went on a blind date with. It was someone's neighbor, like a friend of actually my aunt. It was her neighbor. Went out with him, and then it was a couple years later. It was that awkward moment where we were both at the grocery store at the same time, and we like passed each other and our eyes like connected. And I was like, oh my gosh, where do I know him from? And then you could tell he was kind of thinking something too. And then I thought, oh, he was that guy that I went out on that date with, that we literally finished everything. It was like drinks and dinner in an hour and 15 minutes. And he didn't even walk me to my car, which that kind of like perturbed me a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, come on.
So you want a gentleman.
Exactly. I mean, how hard is it to walk me to the car? But anyways, so yeah, it was just that awkward moment. And then I'm like pushing my shopping cart. Like, he was that guy I went out with. So, I mean, I just have to look back and, you know, it's funny.
Yeah, oh,
it's
funny. Yeah. And it's, I mean, I love that you say, like, you know, after a first date, that, you know, like, your mom was like, how do you know after a first date? Like, you really can know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you do need a couple more dates to figure it out.
Totally.
But I've only been on first dates ever in my entire dating life. And it's because every single time I had that date, it's like there was something that they said or who they are or our beliefs are different, to where I'm like, we're never going to mesh. We're never going to be able to agree on this. Right. And
that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's totally okay. And I think sometimes too, even the Holy Spirit prompts us, you know, of, oh, maybe, you know, this is not going to be the right fit with this person. And that, again, is okay. But at least you tried. It's like, how do you know if you're not willing to try?
Right.
So I do have to give that little bit of advice of, yes, a blind date may be intimidating and scary, but put yourself out there, because I promise you will gain confidence.
Yeah. And sometimes it's awkward, but, you know, like,
but then you get a good story.
And
like,
it's
the grocery store story I just said.
Yeah. And if they're a true gentleman, they'll pay for the date, whatever it is, if it's
and
coffee,
walk you to your car. Exactly. I'm like, I don't even need a hug or anything.
Right.
But don't you care that I make it to my car safely?
Yeah. And I think you were kind of right too, is like in the season, like, you had more of a willing heart. And for the longest time, I didn't. You know, I think that the Lord, for me, was saying, you know, it's okay that you don't want a date. It's okay that you're not going on dates. It's okay that you're saying no to people who are asking you out on dates. Like,
exactly.
You know, all this stuff that my heart wasn't, up until recently, ready to be open to, you know, meeting someone either online or being open to just saying any kind of yes to a date. Like, I literally said yes to a complete stranger, almost, a guy in the drive-thru at my spot. Like, he asked me out. We talked a couple times, and I was like, sure. Like, why not?
Why,
you know?
Not?
So, yeah. So there's, like, I think the Lord prepares us, and there's a lot of maturing that can go into it too. And my testimony, people don't really know about it, and maybe that can be for another episode, but just in terms of my dating past, it's just like, I just didn't really, I don't feel comfortable dating, you know?
And so, that's okay. And that, I think, is respectable that you realize that, you know, instead of not feeling comfortable maybe with dating, but you're still doing it, and then possibly, you know, leading somebody on, and then, you know, having to go down that hard path. So kudos to you.
Well, with all that, I think, you know, you've been in this kind of dating period portion of time, or having a more willing heart, probably a little bit longer than I have. So would you say that, like, being married and being a mother is a desire of your heart?
Yes. So I would say that it has been a desire of my heart for a long time to be a wife and to be a mom. And not only do I want to be a mom, but I want to be a stay-at-home mom. And I know that's not for everybody, but that's just something that I feel like the Lord placed upon my heart. Even at a young age, my mom was a stay-at-home mom, and I so appreciated that. And she really poured into my brother and I. And, you know, there was a season where maybe my parents didn't have as much money financially because my mom wasn't working. But I kind of have that same mindset of, I would rather go with less and have my work be in the home, because I think that, you know, instilling values and you know, having conversations with your children about the Lord and being present is mm-hmm. so important. Mm-hmm. And I know that not everybody has that opportunity and everything, but I feel that that's been a desire of my heart for a long time. And I kind of joke, but I have the mentality of like, I want to be Susie Homemaker.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I feel like that's so not what the world tells women mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. It's more of women, you can do it all. You can mm-hmm. be a wife, you can be a career woman, and you can be a mom, and you can be perfect at all three. Mm-hmm. And just my philosophy is no, you can't.
Yeah.
There's going to be an area that you're going to fall mm-hmm. in. And so I just, you know, I love the thought of being, you know, a caretaker of the home and making meals for my family and instilling, you know, those values and everything that we see as being important and
right.
in our children. So
yeah,
yes. So to answer your question, that was kind of a long answer.
No, I love it.
But yes, I have from a young age desired to be a wife and a mom.
Yeah. So for context, let's tell our listeners like how old you are, just so they know, like, you know, just how long you've been in this season for.
Yeah. So I'm 29 and Lydia and I had talked about this a little bit earlier, but if you would have gone back 10 years mm-hmm. and asked 19-year-old Ashley, hey, where do you think you're going to be at 29? Mm-hmm. There's absolutely no way that I would have thought that I would be here at 29, still single, not married yet. And I would have told you, oh, I'll have been married probably for several years and probably have at least two kids, mm-hmm. you know, by this mm-hmm. age. And I think part of that is pressure that I put on myself because pretty much everyone in my family has gotten married young and had their kids young. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's kind of, I felt as though that was the standard, even though no one's ever put pressure on me. It's totally me. And I'm mm-hmm. grateful for that. So if any of my family's listening, thank you for not ever pressuring me. Mm-hmm. But it's just kind of being able to walk in this season and say, okay, not my way, but your way, Lord, mm-hmm. and help me to continue to trust in you because I know that you have an overview of everything and I can only see, you know, 10 feet in front of me, mm-hmm. you know, where when it comes to my life. And so to keep just trusting that his plan is better than mine. Mm-hmm. And I think, too, when you had sent me these questions that we were talking about and I was kind of processing, one thing that came to mind was my mom continuing to tell me, Ashley, you have to remember that if God has closed a door, then it wasn't a good thing. Yeah. And you don't want anything that's not good.
Yeah.
And there have been times where, you know, there's been a guy and I, in my mind, have thought, oh my goodness, this would be like a Hallmark movie. This is, you know, he may be the one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you get those butterflies. And I know you and I have talked about this too, where there was like one guy where I felt this just instant connection, like he truly saw me, and I had never felt that with mm-hmm. any guy before. And then things obviously, you know, didn't pan out. Mm-hmm. And I remember just like questioning God because, mm-hmm. again, in my mind, I was thinking that it was going to be a good thing.
Yeah.
And again, going back to my mom, she's told me, I think that you're going to look back one day and know exactly why God closed those other doors. Mm-hmm. So I kind of hold tight to that and just mm-hmm. sometimes remind myself of that as well. And I think it's okay to grieve mm-hmm. kind of the season that you are in. And I remember hearing a podcaster that I used to listen to had said that she was in her early 40s and not married yet, and it was something that she desired. And a counselor had told her that, like, you need mm-hmm. to go back and you need to grieve that because that was a desire and a dream that you had that didn't come to fruition.
Yeah.
And it's okay. Now don't stay there. I think that's an important key component mm-hmm. there. Don't stay in that grieving process forever, mm-hmm. but you do need to feel that. So I sometimes will remind myself of that as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's really great that you just bring all of the, like, the whole grieving process too, because, you know, I thinking back on in the past before, I don't know, maybe my post-college career, I would think like, oh, like I shouldn't be grieving or mourning because then maybe I'm sinning because I'm like not thankful for what God has given exactly. me in my life. And I'm like, you know, I just have such a prideful heart or whatever in that and selfish heart of just saying like I didn't get what I wanted.
Right.
But, you know, if we're looking at the Bible for examples, you know, God grieves for his people mm-hmm. multiple times throughout the yes. Old Testament and New. And even just showing like emotions are okay to feel too. Like Jesus right. wept. That's
prime
like,
example.
Right. Yeah.
right there.
He literally like, he was so anxious. No, I don't know if anxious, I don't know if that was the right word, but he so did not want to die on the cross. Mm-hmm. And he was praying so fervently about that and right. weeping and, you know,
because he knew what was to come.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That he just like he was sweating blood.
Right.
You know, and that's I think those examples show it is OK because Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. He had human emotions. Yes. I feel like it's really important for us to know like what the healthy grieving, the healthy mourning looks like, because I think there is also unhealthy ways to grieve and yes. mourn. But I mean, even in Matthew 5:4, it says like, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. We mourn, and I think that is a way that the Lord actually wants to draw us closer to him.
Right.
Sometimes it's the exact opposite, but God uses those times, hopefully, to be able to bring us in a way that can have a more intimate relationship with him and realize, okay, God has me in his hands. He loves me still.
Right. And I think so one of my favorite verses comes from Psalm 62:8, and it says, trust in him at all times. Mm-hmm. You people, pour out your hearts before him. God is our refuge. And I think that's just such a beautiful picture of, you know, trust him at all times, not just like when it's convenient or when you feel like it, but all the time. And then it literally says, pour out your hearts before mm-hmm. him. God wants us to be vulnerable with him. Yeah. Like he already knows our hearts, you yeah. know? And so I think that builds even more intimacy with him when we yeah. are vulnerable. And there are times where I'm like, I'm mad at you. Mm-hmm. like yeah. this is not, I don't feel like this is fair. I feel like all of my friends, you know, especially out in Phoenix, I'm thankful to have Lydia because she like gets me in the season that I'm in. But most of my friends out in Phoenix are married yeah. and like they're on having their second child. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost as if I'm feeling like I need to play catch up. Mm-hmm. But again, I have to remind myself, okay, God created them for that path. Like he has yeah. me on a different path, and that's okay.
Yeah.
That's an okay thing. I don't have to feel like I have to keep up with them.
Right.
And again, I feel as though that is something that the devil puts in my mind mm-hmm. a lot. And mm-hmm. just a helpful tip for me, I read this in a book a couple years ago, and it was talking about when the devil feeds us lies. Mm-hmm. And first you need to recognize the lie. Then you need to reject the lie, and then you need to replace the lie with truth.
Yeah.
And I love just that three-step process, because there are times where I've said to myself, okay, God, I know this is not from you. This mm-hmm. is from Satan. And I am choosing to recognize that. And now I'm going to reject it because it's not who you say that I am. Mm-hmm. And now I am replacing it with your truth of, you know, you love me so much that you sent your only son to die for me mm-hmm. so that I could spend eternity with you.
Yeah.
So just a little tip, you know, for you listeners, write that down. because
that's free advice for you.
Yes, exactly. Because I feel like that's helped me yeah. a lot.
I think that as single people, for our married friends or friends in relationships, we do have more capability to pray for them. We have a new unique opportunity to be praying for them with an undivided heart when we are praying about that. Our sole purpose as a single person is to serve the Lord and to serve his people and to build up his church.
Exactly. Very well said.
Hey friends, we're going to take a quick break from my conversation with Ashley to talk to you a little bit about the product that sponsors our podcast, Splendor Magazine.
I am all for women knowing that they have a place in the body of Christ to further advance His kingdom, and I believe that this magazine really does encourage and inspire women to know that the gifts and talents God has given them is not by accident, but is by design. Y'all, you were created for God and by God. You were called for a specific plan to be a part of God's will to further advance His kingdom. This magazine is to help you on your path to finding either God's calling on your life or to help spur you on in that calling when things feel so difficult to keep going. Trust me, I'm there right now and I feel ya. All I can say is that the women on my team who write on the different passions women have actually encourages me in my faith walk, and I believe it can be true for you too. Our summer issue is still available and it's not too late to grab your copy. Right now, if you use code DIS15, that's D-I-S-15, you can purchase our summer issue for 15% off. Or you can purchase our annual subscription. It's already priced at 15% off the marked retail price, but for an additional 15% off, you can use that discount code. Y'all, I'm serious about wanting to encourage you with this magazine. Don't wait. Go to splendormag.com/shop to start buying today. That's splendeurmag.com/shop. Don't forget your discount code. Now let's get back to our conversation with Ashley.
And I think those are some parts of like the mountains that we also face in our singleness is that, you know, for me, like I know that I've been able to do so much in my singleness because again, you know, just going into 1 Corinthians like 7, it just says, I want you to be free from anxieties. This is verse 32. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord, but the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife and things like that. And his interests are divided. And so for me, my interests are not divided. I'm warring within myself.
Yes.
But I am able to do so much more for his kingdom when I'm single. And so have you found a lot of like some blessings with your singleness and being able to see some of that fruit that you've been able to like maybe further advance his kingdom or just do so much more for him because you are single?
Yes, I definitely would say that because, I mean, quite frankly, you just have more time. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I have obviously a full-time job. I have a puppy. So I do have some time, you know, that's taken up and everything. But, you know, I've tried to stay positive during this season of, okay, God, kind of like, what are you calling me to do right now? Like, I don't want to waste this time. I don't want to look back, hopefully when I am married one day, and say, oh, I wish I would have done that with my time.
Yeah.
So, you know, God, just like, where, you know, are you going to use me, you know? And I think too, there's so much freedom in so many levels with that of, yes, there's more opportunity to do things for his kingdom, but even just simple things of, you know, I get to choose how I want to decorate my house. You know, like in my entrance, I have these two chairs by this little table and they have hot pink pillows on them. So, you know, maybe my husband's not into hot pink and that's something that I'm going to have to change. And that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, but I have the freedom to do that. And I have the freedom to be able to spend my money how I want to spend it. Mm-hmm. Not that my husband's going to control how I spend my money. But it's a conversation that, you know, you budget together and you have to be mindful of that other person, you know? And I do have to say as well, I'm thankful that I've been able to go and like do trips and stuff to see friends, or I've gone on trips with my mom. And again, not that I wouldn't be able to do that if I were married, but most likely I would be doing those things with him, which I hope to someday. You know, I do enjoy traveling and seeing new places, so there are perks to it. And I would encourage you as well, listeners, that, you know, try to find something positive in the season that you're in. You know, even if you have to look really deep within you, try at least focus on one positive thing and try to, you know, let go of the negative, because the negativity can really weigh you down.
I mean, that's so true. I think that's how I felt for a long time. And and listeners, if they listened to my last podcast, they would know that like I had an idol of wanting to be in a relationship, and that actually prevented me from having, you know, a closer relationship with the Lord and also just joy and contentment. But You know, what's interesting is that, like, so many married couples I know who married young, or just in general, they always say, like, cherish your single years. You want to, like, you can do so much, and you really are not your own person when you are married. And that's not a bad thing. And they love their marriage. They love their husband or the spouse or whomever. But there is one couple I know specifically that I'm thinking of in Texas where she said, I sometimes wish that we waited just one more year before we got married. Just okay. Because, you know, they got married right after college.
But it's like kind of a whirlwind.
Yeah. Just going from one stage of life to another. And you're not really having, like, you know, you're going from school to marry, but there's no in between to where you can enjoy life or what it has to offer, or even enjoy dating your significant other, in that time without, like, stressing out about wedding planning or something like that.
Right. So, or finances.
Right.
And, yeah.
Or school, you know, if they're dating in school, then they're worried, they're stressed out about school together. You know?
Right.
So, you know, I think that I've been trying to remember that in my own singleness.
That's
and
good.
Like, I need to love my single years now because I know that I might be very, you know, grieving what we don't have now, but I think I will also grieve for myself my years of singleness when I am married. Because,
right.
you know, again, like you said, the enemy is going to attack you in whatever area. So he's going to kind of make you think back. I'm like, man, I wish I was single, you know,
I wish I would
like
have
that.
Done that.
Right.
Or, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, and with that, like, I think that sometimes married people or people in the church, like, you know, anytime I would come home from college, there's always one or two or five people that will ask me, saying, like, oh, do you have a boyfriend yet? And that was never encouraging to hear. And that, you know, was always like, I know they meant good by it. And
right.
I think that I need to remember that they, you know, at least they're asking because they think I'm worthy to be in a relationship. Like,
right.
you're pretty enough, you're beautiful, like, or you're amazing enough that you should be in a relationship
right.
or whatever.
But then it kind of makes you feel like, why am I not?
Right.
All of these people are, like, asking me or thinking that I should be in a relationship, so why am I not?
Right.
And then you start feeding yourself those lies of, am I not pretty enough? Or
is
my personality, you know, not as fun as it should be?
Mm-hmm.
Or, yeah, I mean, you could tell yourself.
Yeah, and
things.
I think that, like, you know, on a weekly basis,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just in terms of even just comparison, you're looking at other people. Or,
yes.
you know, my mom the other day and was just saying, like, oh, this girl is engaged. And I was like, oh, great. I need to hear that. And then she said,
right.
she's 18. I'm like, oh, gosh.
Like,
that's
thanks,
really
Mom.
What
that's
I need
really
to hear.
A dagger to the heart. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's really nothing, you know, wrong with that. It's just like when you're 28, 29, like yourself and me, like, it's just sometimes, like, you're like, Lord, really? Even her? You know, before me?
Right.
They're
like,
a child.
I'm still here. Have,
like,
you forgotten about
they
me?
They were born not in the 90s, you know?
Yes! Oh, my gosh! Yes!
So it's just like, I feel, you know, somewhat old sometimes when I think about that. But anyway, those instances in the church or with married people, like, they mean well.
They do.
But,
And I think, too, just since we're kind of talking about that, I think also, if you are married and you're listening to this, invite single people into
mm-hmm.
your home. We still desire community and connection, and we like to come for dinner, or we like to come for a game night, or say, hey, we're just barbecuing in the backyard, bring a dish and we're going to play bags or badminton or whatever.
Yeah.
And I have a sweet, sweet friend who, she lives in South Carolina now, but her and her husband lived up here for a short time because he worked for Cat and was moved up here. And we just connected right away. We were both teachers teaching at the
mm-hmm.
same school. Her name was Ashley too, or is Ashley too. And so that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
And her and her husband were always just, like, so sweet in inviting me over. And they were a godly couple, or are a godly couple. And I will always remember this, and the Lord just reminded me of it the other day of, it was a couple years ago, and it was close to Valentine's Day, and I remember specifically praying, Lord, I don't want to be lonely.
Mm.
I hate Valentine's Day. I feel like it's over-commercialized,
and
I don't want to be just stuck at home,
mm-hmm.
you know, feeling the weight of, here I am, single, this sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had that little conversation with the Lord. And then literally a day or two later, Ashley texted me and said, "Hey, Scott and I are throwing a Valentine's Day dinner. We'd love for you to come. Just bring a dish. Sweet. There's going to be a mixture of singles and couples. We'd love for you to come." And I remember reading her text and I literally started crying because it was such an intimate moment with the Lord.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, you heard me. Yeah. You know, you heard my heart's desire.
Yeah.
And what a wonderful thing that you used a dear friend of mine.
Yeah.
And at that time she had no clue. You know, she was just extending the invitation. Right. And so I was able to share with her later how much that meant to me and how, you know, the Lord used her without her even knowing it. So that would be my little bit of advice. If you are married, you know, invite people in. And I hope one day when I am married that that is kind of a ministry that my husband and I can have. I love being hospitable. I love having people over now. And so I would love to be able to, you know, cook a big meal and just invite people over and just have that community time, because I think that's so important.
Yeah.
Everybody desires that.
Just investing in relationships, you know, like, and it's just, I think that, you know, you never know what action, what word you do or say that can really mean something to the person you're talking or reaching out to, you know? And so I think that sometimes, and I struggle with this too, and just thinking that, like, oh, now that my friends are married, I can't hang out with them as much anymore. Or maybe they feel that, or, you know, there's some kind of like disconnect for a little bit. And, but I don't want to end my relationship with them, you know?
Right.
And I think that sometimes, well, for some friendships that I have, there are some that are married, but I mean, there are some people I'm thinking within my church that we're not really close friends. We talk, but I would like to have deeper friendships, but I know that sometimes, like, you know, am I going to like step on their toes or whatever? Mm-hmm. So again, reiterating what you're saying is like,
do they not have enough like space for me in their life? Like, are they kind of filled up already?
Or if they have kids, like, am I just a nuisance? Am I say, let's hang out, you know, or, you know, but I think that like they would say like, no, welcome, I welcome you, especially if you're going to help me with my kids.
Right.
You know? Like, you
know? Right.
And so I always, I'm the same way as you. Like, I'm always feel very honored when they reach out and say, hey, be a part of my life still in a close friendship way, or even just in, as a reaching out to, because I know that for me, kind of what you're saying is like, I want to be able to reach out to the young singles and be able to let them know like, hey, you are loved by us. We want to have a close relationship with you and build you up, because the world sucks. And it's hard to walk in this life if you don't have godly men and women to walk alongside you. And so like help build you up in your faith.
It's very true. And I think just like getting rid of the label, like, I don't care if you're single, I don't care if you're dating, engaged, if you're also a married couple, you know, just like, just come over, let's just have fellowship around the table.
And kind of saying this, I think like you and I have had a lot of conversations about, you know, the Big C church, and I don't know if it's like in every church, and I'm sure that there are some churches who do a very good job about this in terms of catering to every person, every stage of life.
Right.
But do you feel, I think that you and I have felt that the church has not done a great job at this for the singles. So kind of elaborate, like, you know, why you think the church is kind of more catered to married people or couple and couples with children, or at least like the older generation of men and women, and why it might not be catered so much to us, like the single women and men.
Yeah. So I think, especially back here, I feel like churches are more traditional, which there's nothing wrong with that. But kind of the expectation in a way is you get married young, you start having kids young. And so there have just been, honestly, more sermon series catered towards marriage, which, don't get me wrong, I believe that Satan is full-blown attacking marriage in our country, and it's very evident. You know, you can see it all around. And obviously marriage is a beautiful thing ordained and created by God, so of course Satan wants to destroy that. So I believe that there should be messages and sermons geared towards marriage. However, I feel like there are a lot more compared to singles, and I feel kind of in the church, the church doesn't know what to do with single people and divorced people. So they're kind of just you know, put, I don't want to say put to the side, but there's not much attention there.
Right.
Because again, they feel marriage, marriage, marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And for me personally, I really, really dislike it when a church has a singles group.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, I want to be a part of a young adults group.
Yes.
I want people that, yes, maybe they're in my same stage of being single, but I also want to be around couples that are dating, mm-hmm. engaged couples. And then
yeah.
I want to be around married couples because
yeah.
guess what? I can learn from them.
Yeah.
And frankly, they can learn from me
right.
too. Just because I'm not married doesn't mean that they can't still learn something
yeah.
from me or, you know, what the Lord's growing me through, that type of thing. So that has definitely been a big frustration with me, which I find is interesting because people in today's society are getting married later in life.
Right.
So
yeah.
it's kind of like, come on, church, wake up.
I know.
There are not as many married couples in the church
right.
compared to 10 years ago, mm-hmm. even.
Mm-hmm.
So in my opinion, they need to start flipping their mindset
mm-hmm.
and say, how can we bring unity here
mm-hmm.
instead of, because honestly, I feel like they create division. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
I know that there are probably people out there who disagree with me, and that's okay. It's
yeah.
we live in a free country, and that's a beautiful thing that we can agree to disagree
yeah.
on things. But
I mean, for these people like they're listening, that you could be at a church where they do this really, really well.
Exactly.
And I've been to a church where they've done that really well.
Right. And like, what a blessing.
Right.
You know that you have that and
yeah.
cherish that
right.
because it's, you know, I feel like it's not as common back here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been to two different churches back here and they both had a singles group. And I remember trying one for a little bit and then it just got hard with my schedule because I was teaching and they only met every 2 weeks. And so like if I had parent-teacher conferences and I had to stay at school until 8 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
then obviously I missed the meeting. And then you go maybe a month or month and a half before
yeah.
you see these people and
you don't
it
have
was
like a
hard.
Relationship that you can build from.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So but then the church that I've recently started going to, I know that they do have more of like a young adults group.
Mm-hmm.
That's more I think kind of like small groups and stuff. So I'm anxious and excited to try to get involved a little bit more and kind of see, you know, like what that
yeah.
is like.
Yeah. So it's there is hope with it. It's just
yes.
I think that there's, you know, what you were saying, it's so interesting. I was like, I literally was thinking the same thing. It's like a cultural, generational thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I could be in different pockets of the states where there's more of an issue of like what we've been seeing where it's not catered to as many single people or at least addressing hard issues throughout the entire Bible to where, you know, it's like it's needed to be
mm-hmm.
talked about. But I think it is generational. I mean, I think a lot of the church people are getting married very young.
Yes.
Started having kids and then their kids would grow up and they would get married and all that stuff. And
yeah.
so I think it kind of started with the baby boomers,
yeah.
like that generation.
Yes.
And just building up because I think, you know, there was a lot of emphasis on like, oh, you need to get married. Or, you know, even then there wasn't so much for what women could do necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
And now that there is, you're right that there's also the other side to where the enemy, or not the enemy, but the world is telling you, like, women, you can do it all. So
right.
there's also, like, you want to build your career because you finally have the capabilities to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, there are a lot more, like, there are some churches who are losing the single people because
yeah.
there's not either a community where they feel welcome or there's not enough conversations of, like, what they're going through
mm-hmm.
Through the sermons or even in small group to where they might be struggling with things, but
right.
they either don't feel comfortable because it's not being talked about or they don't have anybody to talk to about it with, you know? So it's there, you know, the church is not perfect. Our experiences have just been... we've been disheartened in that. And so if you're going through this, know that you're not alone. And we'll be like, I think that it's a good prayer for us. That, like, even in the church that you're at, if you feel like you need to stay at the church, be praying that they would have open more opportunities. Also pray that maybe the Lord would use you as an opportunity like to build
say,
up
yes.
like the young adults group and like having more community groups that's more intergenerational.
Right.
Because I also had a community group down in Texas when I lived
mm-hmm.
there where it was actually filled with singles, married couples that were young, but also older couples. And I loved talking to older couple women. Right. Like,
they have so much, knowledge from them. Exactly.
And I just sometimes got along better with them than I did like people my own age.
Right.
So yeah, there's hope. And I think that's a big prayer that we have. And, you know, I think hopefully the shift is coming since people are reveling in the singleness more. And yeah. I don't know if that's designed by God for a purpose that he can use young people. Mm-hmm. You know, it says, do not despise the youth and everything. I think like that's very true for today.
Yes. And it's just, I mean, we live in a broken and sinful world. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
I think, you know, just being reminded like of that too. It's not going to be perfect and that's okay. But I loved just your encouragement and the fact of see how maybe God can use you where you are at. So yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. And I know you have a heart for the younger people listening.
Yes.
And I think as you mentioned, the feeling of not being worthy or wanted started very young, especially when seeing other relationships evolve around you. Mm-hmm. So is there like anything that you would want to tell the younger people listening about your singleness or like any encouragement you can give them?
Yes. No, I love this question. And I think one thing that the Lord kind of placed upon my heart to share is don't feel the pressures of the world. You know, and what I mean by that is, let's say you are in high school and maybe you're not dating somebody, but your friends are, and you're feeling that pressure of, okay, is something wrong with me? Why am I not dating somebody? Mm-hmm. Or if you're in college, like same thing. And it's okay to not date in high school or even in college. And let me say that again, it is okay. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with you if you decide to not date. And Lydia and I were kind of talking about this earlier, and the fact of, this is just my personal opinion, but I feel as though when you choose to date somebody, you are giving a little bit of your heart to them.
Yeah.
And I'm not even talking about, you know, if you're sexually intimate with them, which I believe needs to be saved for marriage, but even you have that emotional connection with them. Obviously, you like them. You know, that's why you're dating. So you're giving a little piece of your heart to that person. So if you are maybe, and maybe this is hard to hear, but I say that I am kind of have a bold personality. Mm-hmm. So maybe this is harsh, but you know, if you are the type of girl that always has to be with a guy, why is that? Mm-hmm. Ask yourself that. Why do you always feel the need to be with somebody? Because every time that you're with somebody, you're giving a piece of your heart away.
Yeah.
So I know that for me, I want my heart to be as full and put together as possible for my husband one day. And I hope that he's done that for me, you know, as well. Because you will, when you are dating, form those connections with other people. So I would just caution you, be careful with that. Again, I'm not, there was that thing years ago, like kiss dating goodbye, which I think is stupid. Like,
I mean, I think a lot of us can say that.
Yes. So I'm not promoting that. I'm just saying, be very mindful with who you decide to date. And it's okay to be picky. I've been kind of, in a funny way, been made fun of by like my friends of like being so picky. But you know what? I'm okay with that. I'm okay with being picky. And I think some of that stems from coming from a divorced home. I know, and I know what it looks like and how it feels like when it does not work out. And I want to try to save myself from that as much as possible. And I'll 100% admit there was a short period of time where I just closed myself off completely because I didn't trust. And there are still times where I can occasionally have some trust issues, but I'm working through that. But I fully believe that God will bring a man into my life who I can fully trust and will be patient with me, you know, in that. Yeah. So that would just be a little bit of my advice to, you know, maybe the younger listeners of be mindful. It's okay if you're picky. Mm-hmm. And again, it's okay if you decide to not date, or maybe you've only dated one person, or, you know, don't let the world guide you. Yeah. Let the Lord guide you. Yeah. In that.
I think that's really good. And I, you know, I'm praying that those listening, if they are younger, that they really take this to heart.
Yes.
Because sometimes it's hard for us to, like, I know that when I was young, I probably wouldn't want to listen to anything that anyone said about, like, don't pursue being in a relationship. Mm-hmm. But it's really like, we want to protect you that we
yes.
say this.
100%.
And this could really be true too, if like people our age and older as well, mm-hmm. who may be single.
Yes.
It can really be applicable for any woman.
Any season, any age.
Yeah, or a man, who, if you're listening to this too, if like just in terms
right.
of like how you're feeling with your unworthiness, like Satan will really use that to bring you down and to try and find your worth in a man or in a person.
Right.
Instead of in God.
Yes.
And God does not want that barrier mm-hmm. between you and him.
Right.
So I think, like, in kind of going with this, I think it probably would go in hand with my next question of just, you know, our podcast is called Dress and Splendor. It's based off of Luke 12:27, which is shared at the beginning of each episode. And so our heart is really to try and share with our listeners of how they can remove worry and anxiety from their hearts, and how they can really trust the Lord in every day and every circumstance. And so we have this Dress and Splendor because I believe that you can be dressed in even grander splendor than the wildflowers if we choose to put our whole trust in God, and with every single thing and every situation and circumstance in our life. So what is being dressed in splendor specifically surrounding in this season and this singleness topic like look like to you?
So I think for me, just continuing to grow my relationship mm-hmm. with the Lord, because I know that hopefully one day when I am married, obviously there is going to be that guy, mm-hmm. my husband, that, you know, I'm going to be thinking about and pouring into as well. And I want to be very mindful and cautious that, you know, I don't make him my first priority, mm-hmm. but I continue to make God my first priority.
Yeah.
And that's one beautiful thing in the season of singleness is, you know, I am able to make God my first priority. Mm-hmm. I enjoy, I'm a morning person. I love the morning. I get up, you know, 2 hours before I have to even go to work
yeah.
to enjoy my coffee and my quiet time with him. And I'm really enjoying that aspect mm-hmm. And making sure that I, again, hopefully one day when I am married, that continues.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I love the passage in John 15 talking about I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes, and he prunes every branch mm-hmm. that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. And then skipping down to verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Mm-hmm. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without mm-hmm. me. So just reminding myself that I can do nothing without the Lord, mm-hmm. and I want to continue to have evidence of fruit in my yeah. own life. So then one day I hope to continue that when I am in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And that's important to me, that the guy knows that and say, sorry, you're my number two. my Father up above is my number one, and that's how it's going to be. And I truly believe, ladies, if you're, you know, have that same mindset, you know, which I hope you do, that guy will respect that.
Yeah. So, it'll have the same desire.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. So I think that that's just something that he's continuing to, you know, just help guide me with. And it's like, no, Ashley, all your attention's on me mm-hmm. right now. I still have you for this season.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing, you know, that
yeah.
intimate time, you know, with the Lord, it's special. And I don't ever want to take it for granted.
Oh, yeah. And I think, like, it's, you know, sometimes in our valleys with this season, or just in general, we'll have valleys in our lives that it may feel like we're drowning, but the Lord just continues to say, just look up at me. And if you look up, it's like if you are in water, you continue to look up, like your head's above water.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes. So it's a great example.
You know, God wants us to continue to look up to Him. And then if we do that and we reach out our hands to Him, and then He's always going to, like, He's always going to reach back out.
Right.
And He's always going to make that path straight for us. Yes. So, well, we're going to end with just something fun, because I think everybody might be interested to know, like, what are you looking for in a husband?
Oh my gosh. So. Yeah. If you have any, like, brothers or cousins or
send them your way.
Yeah. So I was thinking back to high school, Ashley, and I totally had a list on my door of, I don't know, goodness, probably 10 or 12 things. Mm-hmm. Now, some of the things were stupid. Like, he needs to be at least 6'3", enjoys working out, and has a good body. Mm-hmm.
That's like priority number one.
Right. That's, you know, immature Ashley of 14. So, but when I was thinking about this, I honestly have three things that I look for. Two are non-negotiable for me, and then one is something that I would like to have. So I'll start with my non-negotiable. So number one top priority non-negotiable for me is that he is a believer and is walking with the Lord and has evidence of fruit in his life. I don't want a guy that says, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, guess what? I'm sorry, but in today's world, that doesn't really mean anything.
Right.
You know, we've gotten to that point, sadly, in our society where that doesn't really mean anything to me. So are you in the Word? Are you reading? Are you telling me what you're learning? I want to be able to share with you what I'm learning. Reading the Word together and praying together. Those are things that are so important to me. And I am a firm believer that God calls the man to be the spiritual leader in the home. So if he is not doing that with me while we are dating, what makes me think he's going to do that when we're married?
Right. Yeah.
You know, maybe that's hard to hear, but it's the truth. So that is, I would say, top priority number one for me. Number two that I would say is another non-negotiable for me is I desire for him to want to be a dad and not only be a dad, but an invested dad. Unfortunately, growing up, I would say my dad was a workaholic. He was not really involved with my brother and I, and that was hard. That was really hard, and I still would say that there are some things that I struggle with because of that. So that is a desire that, you know, maybe he's had a hard day at work but still comes home and throws the football in the backyard or takes our daughter out on daddy-daughter dates. So if the guy did not want to have children, I would respect that and say, okay, I'm glad that you know that, but I'm not your person. You know, so that would...
This ain't gonna work.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry. So those are my non-negotiables. And then the third one I would say is someone who is just fun and makes me laugh. I love to have fun. I love to laugh. I think that's so important in a relationship to be, you know, playful like that. And somebody who is more spontaneous. I'm a planner. I'm more type A. I love a good plan. And so somebody who can maybe push me to do things that I wouldn't normally do.
Yeah.
But then, like, I feel safe doing those things because, like, I trust him.
Right.
So I would say that's, like, my third one. So those are my three. It's come a long way from the 6'3", likes to work out and has a good body.
I know. Well, honestly, I think you bring up a good point is that, like, your list of what you want in a husband can change. Like, I have this list still, but mostly as, like, a reminder that of, like, what I wanted in a husband. It was very specific, like, even down to, like, blonde hair, blue eyes. Now I really don't care, but it's like, as long as you have a beating heart.
And that there's an attraction there. I mean, like, we talked at the beginning, if there's no chemistry and it's not growing, then...
But back then, like, I had a type. And I definitely, you know, I think every guy I had a crush on looked like that. So I was like, oh, I must only be attracted to these men. But right. a lot of the times it's also because of their sense of humor too. Right. But what's interesting is I actually, like, there are some people who have amazing stories. And they're like, I was very specific with my desire of what I want in a husband.
Right.
I prayed about it and the Lord gave me the exact same man plus more.
I'm right.
like, all right, great for you.
Good for you.
Yeah, good for you.
A lot of worked out.
Yeah. For me, when I made that list, I was actually like, I had met a man, post-college career to where, he actually ticked off every single thing on my list.
Mm.
He probably doesn't know this, but he did. And that's why I think that I had such a big crush on him. It's like, he must be it. Like, right. I've been praying about mm-hmm. this.
Oh, I've been there.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And he didn't seem to, like, show any, like, I mean, he definitely didn't because he's married and has a baby. Like, he's pregnant with the first kid right now. But, like, you know, I thought that, oh, it just might not be God's timing. Mm-hmm. But he has to be it because right. he literally fills every single checkbox that yeah. I had. But I think the Lord was showing me, is like, hey, you know, you have your list. It's not my list for you.
Yeah.
So he was working in me in that. And so that's, like, for me, my list is a lot shorter now, too. It's like, mm-hmm. I just need him to love God more than he loves me.
Yes.
And I want him to have similar passions. I want us to have complementary lives. Like you were saying, mm-hmm. like, you want him to be more spontaneous to your type A personality.
Yeah.
I think it's nice to have something that would be complementary. If you were too similar, like, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. But I always find that opposites attract.
Yeah.
Because of the complementary aspect to that.
Right.
So.
You can bring something out that's different
yeah.
in each other.
Yeah.
And learn to grow.
Yeah.
You know, just like, I'll have to grow if I'm more spontaneous.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
what do you mean we're not going to plan for that trip? Like, right. we're just going to get in the car and go?
Right.
Oh, that would be hard.
I know. I'm kind of like that too. So, yeah, but, you know, I think it just for those, again, listening too, if, like, if you have a list, there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
I think it'd be fun if you do write a list and you say, this is what I want, and see how that grows and changes over the years.
Yes.
And maybe the Lord will
grant
that, and maybe he won't. But don't keep that, like, don't have that, like, as gospel, like, with your list.
Right.
Like,
because you may miss out
right.
on somebody who's really incredible,
mm-hmm.
you know, and maybe they wouldn't be the one, but maybe they would be able to touch your life
mm-hmm.
in an amazing way.
Right.
And because you were so particular about sticking to your list, you missed out on that.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think the last thing I'll say for everyone listening to is just remember that God's timing is best. And if you need encouragement, go to people maybe in a similar season as yourself. That's why Ashley and I, we love getting together because we're
yes.
able to share our hearts with one another because not a lot of people understand
right.
what's going on. Even if, like, you are close to some married people, like, they just might not understand as well.
Right.
But also continue to reach out to, like, older women who are married and, you know, just immerse yourself in community at the church. Make sure that the enemy does not, like he is going to say lies about you. He does to us still, you know, you and I, Ashley. And but if you continue to immerse yourself in God's truth and in prayer and through community in the church, I think that the desire of wanting to be married will still be there, but it won't hurt as much when it's not coming true to you in the timing you want.
Right. So good.
Yeah, but I'm really glad that you came on the show, Ashley.
Yes.
Like, this was such a great conversation. I think it turned out in a way that I'm just very blessed to have had this with you, and I think it'll be a blessing to others. So
yes, well, I so just appreciate your friendship
mm-hmm.
and opportunity to be able to do this. And I know that there have been times where, you know, we've had dinner and I'll have gone through something hard. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad
yeah.
that we had dinner scheduled tonight. Like, God knew that I needed this because I just dealt with something that was kind of hard and discouraging
yeah.
today.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful. We so appreciate you listening
mm-hmm.
To this today. I hope that we were able to, you know, encourage you. And that you may also send this podcast on to someone else that you think would benefit from mm-hmm. it as well. And I would also love to connect with any listeners on social
yes.
media,
yeah.
on Instagram. You can find me at the classy, sassy patriot. So again, the classy, sassy patriot. That's my handle on Instagram. And yeah, if you'd even shoot me a DM and say, hey, I listened to you on the Splendor podcast, like that would mean so much to me. I'd love to just be able to connect with you.
Yeah. And I did not pay her to like promote this for you to share with people, but I agree with everything she said. But yeah, I mean, her handle, just seeing her Instagram page, she changed it. She got a new one, but she is classy and sassy. So if you're looking for that, you will find
spicy.
It on
I'm
there.
A little spicy. Gosh. So maybe that's another thing. The guy needs to be able to handle a little spice.
Yes.
Because I've been known to be a little spicy.
I mean, what's life without a little spice?
Right? Right? It's boring. That's why I like to bring some life and spice.
Yes. Yeah, definitely follow her. She is one that you will want to connect with. And she, I know, would love to answer questions. So Thank you again for joining.
Thanks, Lydia.
We will see you guys next time. Thank you so much for tuning in, y'all. I really hope this conversation blessed you in some way, shape, or form. Whether you're single right now or you're in a relationship or married, I pray that each one of you found encouragement from what Ashley and I shared in this episode. We hope this conversation and conversations to come may further aid you in learning how to be dressed in splendor in your everyday life, no matter what you may go through. If you want to know when our next episode will be out, follow us on social media. Find us on Instagram at Dressed in Splendor. That's Dressed in Splendor, SPLENDEUR. Make sure to like this podcast and leave us a review wherever you can. Not for my sake, but that the message of Christ or the powerful testimonies of his children can be shared with all in order for his glory to be magnified. If you're interested in being a sponsor, please email us at info@splendormag.com. Your sponsorship will help us continue in our mission to encourage, empower, and equip women in their walk with Christ. We thank you in advance for your support. The music of the Dress in Splendor podcast was produced by Jael Arekasi. Find him on Instagram at Sound of Pastel Kid for more of his work. That's Sound of Pastel, P-A-S-T-E-L Kid. Thank you, Ashley, for joining the show and talking on such a relevant topic. Lastly, thank you, dear listeners, for joining us today. May you be blessed as you continue on in your day, and may God be glorified through your work.